This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Danny Glover, a national managing editor at National Journal's Technology Daily. Danny, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thanks.
Thanks for joining us. Danny, we just talked with Mark McKinnon and Joe Lockhart. Are you familiar with hotsoup.com? I'm sure you must have read something about this in the Post.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of articles about it in the Post and also the Los Angeles Times. It sounds like an intriguing idea, but
yeah.
there are some doubters out there about whether something like that can work.
Oh, right. Now share that with us, because I know there's been grassroots.com and something else out there that have sort of attempted to try something like this, haven't they?
Well, yeah. In fact, one of the criticisms that I saw recently was by Michael Turk, who used to be the e-campaign director at the Republican National Committee. And he was involved with one of those projects. I can't recall whether it was voter.com or grassroots.com. And he worked with some of the people who are now involved in Hot Soup. And his point was just, it's a fantastic idea. It'd be great if it could work, but the atmosphere is just too polarized right now for something like that to work. People don't want to go to the internet to have reasoned discussion. They want to go to the internet to rant.
Yeah, that's well put, because you do, when you read comments in a blog, and you certainly know a lot about that, when you read comments in any blog, it's usually people ranting and going after each other, and you get a lot of that.
Yeah, the forum is very conducive to that kind of dialogue.
And why is that? Because people are at home by themselves, usually just pecking away at a keyboard?
Well, it's the internet equivalent of road rage. You know, you're more likely to lash out at someone, you know, say something hostile toward them when they can't actually hear you, when you're not confronting them in person. And that's probably even more pronounced on the internet, because you're so far removed from the people you're engaging.
Yeah.
You just talk bad about them and don't have to worry about any consequences.
It's some obscure person. Well, it's like when, you know, nations work really hard to make the enemy in a war obscure. You make them less humane, so it's easier to kill them. Well, we can move on from that. Hey, Danny Glover, of course, is managing editor at Technology Daily of the National Journal. And Danny, tell folks, first of all, what is the National Journal? And of course, it's nationaljournal.com. For folks who don't know, is it like the Washington Post, or is it like, you know, the American Enterprise Institute? Are you a think tank? I mean, what exactly is the National Journal?
Oh, we're nothing like a think tank. In fact, people who work at think tanks are the kind of sources we use. We're a journalism organization and inside the Beltway focused publishing company, and we have several publications, the flagship being National Journal Magazine, which is how the company got its founding. It's a weekly magazine that just steps back and takes a big picture look at hot issues and hot things going on inside the Beltway. We also have specialty publications like Technology Daily, where I work as the managing editor, and there we focus on technology policy issues, anything having to do with the internet, with e-government, Homeland Security, because a lot of the issues involving Homeland Security involve technology, internet crime, antitrust issues. So we cover the full gamut of tech and telecom issues.
Well, speaking of telecom, I got to ask you right off the bat, Virginia's new telecom law. Can you fill us in on that? What's going on with that? And why should we care?
Yeah, Virginia was one of the first states to broach this particular issue. And it has to do primarily with video franchising. That was one of the biggest issues that came up, and whether or not telecommunications companies would be able to start offering video services and competing with the cable industry. Texas actually got the ball rolling last year, and then this year, Virginia was one of the first states to take up the issue. They took a little different approach than Texas and some of the other states just because of the constitutional limits within the state of Virginia. But basically, they ease the restrictions that apply to new entrants into the video market on how to get local franchises.
Okay, now back up for 1 minute and pretend I know nothing about this.
Yeah, I covered quite a bit there in that answer, didn't I?
Because all are right. We talking about a Sprint that's able to offer like cable TV?
And they would offer it through, yeah, exactly. They're
okay.
Able to offer cable TV, they're able to offer video over the internet, all of these new technologies that are coming online.
Yeah.
And the goal is to compete with the cable industry. What you have happen currently is that local utility regulators, public utilities commissions, decide who gets cable franchises.
Right.
Usually it's just one or two companies, one each within each locality that get a franchise.
Yeah.
And one of the complaints of the new entrants into the market is that it's so time-consuming and difficult to get individual franchises within each locality. So what they actually need are either statewide franchises or, more importantly, a lot of them are pushing now for national franchises. It's also an issue within Congress here in Washington. The limits in Virginia didn't allow them to actually completely do away with local franchises, but the law tried to ease the rules so that it would make it simpler for companies like Verizon to come in into the market.
So this is a business-friendly, competition-friendly legislation that says, hey, you know, let's get more people in the swimming pool here. This is what capitalism is about. Let's make it easier for more people to get into this market with their product.
Yes, yeah.
So that's a good thing. Is there any bad thing about it? Because it sounds great.
Well, I don't know. I mean, competition can be a bad thing if you're a company and you're wanting to control the market. But yeah, in Virginia's case in particular, the Verizon Communications and state and local cable authorities came to an agreement before they really started pushing. So there was a sense that this was the right way to go in Virginia anyway.
Danny, didn't President Clinton sign, was it 96, the big Telecommunications Act?
Yes, 1996 was the big one.
And wasn't that supposed to increase competition and bring price? I mean, that's the idea, is that you increase competition and prices come down, and yet we usually see more people in the marketplace offering more products and prices still go up.
Well, I don't know whether that's true or not. Some people would argue that it is, and some people would argue that it isn't. One thing that's interesting is that the communications world has changed so dramatically in the 10 years since that law took effect. When that law was enacted in 1996, it had been several decades, going back to the 1930s, since there was a major telecommunications overhaul. Almost ever since the 1996 Act has been implemented, there have been people pushing for the need to change it because technology is changing the landscape so rapidly.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
law can't keep up with the changes that are going on in the market. I mean, who would have thought that you would have telephone companies being able to offer video or cable companies being able to offer telephone services or all of those companies fighting to offer voice over the internet?
Yeah, yeah. It is amazing. And now with things like YouTube, anybody can produce their own TV online.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, tell folks what is YouTube and real quick, because then we'll go to a break, but tell folks what is YouTube and why they should know about YouTube.
YouTube is a video sharing site, like you have the music sharing sites, the Napsters and places like that where you could share music, except in this case, people are creating their own videos and putting them online, and you can share them, you can send them to your friends, you can direct them. A lot of candidates are starting to use it to get out snippets from their campaigns. There are people within Congress who are grabbing snippets off of the House floor and publishing them.
Yeah,
Nancy Pelosi is doing that.
Yeah, candidates are actually using YouTube to put up campaign commercials as like a beta site. They'll put it up on YouTube first to see what the reaction is.
Exactly.
Before they would actually use it in a campaign.
It's cheap. You can do it for free, and it's a way to test the market and also to generate buzz and to get bloggers talking about it and linking to a video.
We're talking with Danny Glover, the managing editor of National Journal's Technology Daily in his office in Washington. Danny, hold on with me just 1 minute. We'll take a quick break. This is Charlottesville Right Now. We're talking with Danny Glover of the National Journal. He's the managing editor of Technology Daily, a publication of National Journal. And Danny, I would be remiss if I didn't say you're one hell of an actor. I loved you in Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Do you get that like every day?
Not every day, but probably once a week anyway. I actually wrote a blog entry about it earlier this year because there was an episode on Capitol Hill involving a certain congresswoman who punched a Capitol Hill police officer.
Oh, yeah.
And she held a press conference with the actor Danny Glover. And so then people started saying things about the fringe actor Danny Glover and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, sometimes it's not so fun having that name.
Hey, I want to ask you about Homeland Security, because I know that's something that you have covered as a reporter and as a journalist. Can you tell us maybe some of the things you've learned that some folks might not be aware of?
Well,
especially when it comes to funding it.
Yeah, Homeland Security is one of the bigger issues that we cover here at Tech Daily, especially since the terrorist attacks in 2001. In fact, we didn't really cover it until then, but it's pretty much a staple of our publication now. And one of the things that might be, or that I know is of interest to policymakers in Virginia, is just the whole funding issues involving how people can get the federal grants for technologies and other aspects of protecting the homeland. There's been fights going on within Congress for a while now that kind of a two-pronged fight. First, you have the fight between Republicans and Democrats about the level of funding. Democrats say that the Bush administration isn't providing enough. But then you also have a fight between the major urban centers, like in Northern Virginia and D.C. and New York, in areas that are less likely to be targeted for terrorism. The Homeland Security Department is like, or wants to have the risk-based approach, where the money goes to the cities or the regions that are most at risk of terrorism, but states want to have it based on, to some extent, just the fact that you have a state. It's kind of the same breakdown that you had when the country was created, where you had a battle between, do you represent the people in the House or do you represent the state in the Senate? So, and that's kind of how it breaks down now. Senators tend to push for funding that's based on states, and House members tend to push for a risk-based approach because it can better protect their particular districts or regions.
Did New York actually get Homeland Security funding cut? Didn't
New York
something
and Washington
about?
This year both did by about 40%. That was actually kind of interesting. And what happened was that they changed the funding formula this year to a regional approach, and that may have had some impact on it. But basically, the Bush administration said that the D.C. area and New York area don't have as many critical infrastructure targets right now. And so they wanted to direct some of the funding to different regions.
Huh. But and what gets me is what some of the stuff that people do with this money. Like here in Charlottesville, we have a federal courthouse right downtown, and they took the money for Homeland Security. They took out all of these gorgeous trees and put in these, I don't even know what you call them. They're like these big concrete things that would supposedly prevent a truck from driving into the building with a bomb. But all you got to do is pull around back and just drive into the parking lot. I mean, it literally makes no sense, and it's pretty god-awful ugly, if you ask me.
There have been some complaints about the way they use some of the money and whether or not they put it to the best uses in the way they're spending it. And the localities have some leeway in how they do that. There are people in Congress who think they shouldn't have as much leeway as they do and that they should have conditions placed on how they use the money. But right now, that's not so much what's happening.
Yeah, I would love to see maybe some of those decisions being made by people who really understand security, like the military.
Mm-hmm.
Weigh in on some of these decisions where how this money is manifests itself being spent locally rather than just handing the money to some localities and say, here you go, do whatever you want with it. Well, we want to buy new gym equipment for our police station.
And that's one of the complaints that has surfaced regularly, is that these money is going to fire departments and police departments and places like that, and they're using the money how they want to, as opposed to, for instance, one of the things that we cover is communications and whether or not the system in one locality can work across a jurisdiction with another one if there's a regional attack, like happened when you hit the Pentagon. You've got Pentagon's in Virginia, but they bring in fire departments from all over.
Right, right.
And they can't communicate with each other.
Yeah, and which was a problem in 9/11, right in Manhattan.
It was. It was very much a problem.
I mean, there's a lot of lives that could have been saved if they had a better walkie-talkies. You know,
there's actually a bill on the House floor today that they voted on earlier today, having to do with what they call interoperable communications, to try to address that type of issue. But the House passed this bill that would try to address the issue, but it's an authorization bill. It basically says we need this much money and we should spend this much money, but it's not an appropriations bill, so you can't actually spend it. There's not any money provided yet. That's another whole step, and they're already saying it's probably not going to happen this year, so we'll have to fight for it next year.
Danny, does that sound like something Washington would do, or what?
Well, that's pretty much the way Washington works. I mean, you have authorization bills that say this is our budget, and appropriations bills that say this is how much we're actually going to spend, and rarely do they coincide with each other.
That's really strange. That's got to be, it's got to make your job a whole lot of fun.
It makes it interesting trying to find out the numbers and what they all mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Danny, thank you so much for spending some time with us. We really appreciate it, and we'll look forward to talking to you again.
All right. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Absolutely. That's Danny Glover, good friend, up managing editor up at the National Journal, Technology Daily. And, of course, that's nationaljournal.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.